scump prasa.
That's our intro. Hello everyone and welcome to Bioscope Brasa. This is the show where two Brasa talk movie news, reviews, shorts and some cuck in between, and also the show where you ask people for cusisters and then they don't drop cusisters. And now we're sitting here, I'm hungry, Jody's hungry, Abby's hungry, we got fuck all. Hi, my name is Ross.
And I'm Jody. And on that low energy note.
Yeah, my glucose. My glucose is in the minus.
It's like, give you some sugar water.
No, it's all right. I'm gonna have an orbit.
You know what you should do? You should put some I almost said that word that you're gonna shout about. You must put some jam under your tongue.
No, I'm not gonna shout about that word, but
apricot.
I like apricot jam. I just had an issue with you putting apricot jam on liver bologna.
But you've never tried it.
Yeah, but also...
It would help you right now.
White people don't know what liver bologna is.
it's like liver spread.
Yeah. No, it is liver spread.
No, no.
You it's get, pate.
Yeah. It's like pate, but...
cheaper. Yeah. But they don't know. They don't know. They don't know, everyone.
They don't. And we also don't know what liver's been used.
No, it doesn't fucking matter. It tastes like a... Yeah. Love bologna on toast, my bro.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait. But on that note, let's low energy just get into the news.
I think so.
Our wear, news and shorts.
It's time for Who's Dead?
Wow. No.
Sorry, no.
I thought we were just going to keep that low energy.
I know, but...
Now we're like, who's dead?
No, it's quite a sad thing. And it's always sad when, you know, an actor or anyone like that sort of made something that you really enjoy, like, passes away.
That's true.
And there's been a couple now. So, first is Ray Liotta.
Yes.
Yeah.
Star of... many gangster films.
No, well, I mean, the thing is, it's cool, man. His career was kind of, he's best known for obviously Goodfellas.
Yes.
But he's done like B-grade stuff. He's done like A-grade stuff.
You know
stuff.
What my favorite B-grade movie was?
What?
That Escape from Alcatraz. What was that? Where he's a prisoner. He's like an army guy who shot his commanding officer and he gets put into this prison thing. Sean Connery was in that film as well, but it's on an island.
It's not The Rock. Oh, you're talking about an old one?
Yes.
Yes,
it's
I
that
think
B-action
so.
Movies.
Oh my
Escape
God.
From Absalom, not Alcatraz. That's
wow.
It was brilliant.
I couldn't even remember that. But I mean, yeah. Yo, sad, no? Really? I feel like I just saw him in something.
He was very recently in something. He's done like those B-grade villain roles, you know,
yeah.
Like Wild Dogs and that those films.
Yeah, but he's super well respected in the industry because he's done so much great work, especially in like the 80s and 90s, you know.
Yeah,
I mean?
I think he earned that like fuck the time.
100%. 100%. No, for sure. He could have done whatever, but like RIP Ray Liotta, super sad, and it sucks that we're not going to see him in anything again.
True.
Next on the list in the Who's Dead segment is
James Caan.
James Caan, another gangster Italian man with he doesn't have an Italian surname.
No, Caan is it's a bit more, what would you call it, Bavarian.
Yeah, I mean, we don't.
Not one of us.
That was Abigail.
That was Abigail.
Farting. No, it wasn't a fart. It was a sneeze. But
like
yeah,
a match anyway.
James Caan. Crazy. We'd have to research the origin of that surname. We'll get back to you on that. But another legend in his own right. I mean, he's been in many films and TV shows.
Do you know what was the stuff?
Las Vegas. Do you remember that show?
Well, Duhamel.
Yeah, Josh Duhamel.
Josh Duhamel.
Yeah, and that other woman. But yeah, he was just amazing. Like, get out of here. What are you talking? Mickey Blue Eyes.
Yeah. Forget about it.
Forget about it.
James Caan, do you know what astounded me? Is that Francis Ford Coppola is still alive.
Yeah.
And he, like, because he obviously paid tribute to him now recently.
Yeah.
And Was he not much older than James Caan? Because he directed.
Maybe he had more money, because you know, money keeps you alive.
Through that.
Just look at the Queen.
Money and spite.
Yeah, Queen's got a lot of spite.
So much spite. Yeah, but James Caan was a legend.
He was a legend. And I mean, his son is so much like him. And I actually, do you remember his son started in Hawaii 5-0? His son was in Hawaii 5-0.
Scott Caan.
Yeah.
He was in,
he didn't start in there. No, no. And he didn't start in there. I mean, I was going to say start. It was a mistake. Thanks for pointing that out.
Of course.
But he was also from Varsity Blue. Mm-hmm. So he started in Hawaii 5-0 and we used to watch it. And then I told my friend... Just watch his hands.
Yeah.
The way he acts with his hands. And his friend, my friend came back to me and he said, fuck you, my bro. I can't unsee it now. Because he's always got these like open palms and he's like, what are you talking about? He does that. It's cuck, man.
Yeah, I mean, he was also in the Ocean's films and a bunch of other
Yeah. Well. But I mean, like shame. I mean, RIP, James Caan.
Yes.
True legend.
That's two legends.
That's two mafia legends now. Because then also the guy from Sopranos died.
Yes.
Tony
Yeah, that guy with a really slick back hair.
No, he was the most American-Italian character in that film.
Out of everyone there. Yes.
Come on.
Did he play Paulie?
No. Paulie was the younger one. He played the other guy. The older guy. Yeah.
Okay, well, not Junior.
No. Paulie was the one with the big nose and the dark hair.
Yeah, I thought it was the guy with the white hair. I can't remember.
He has like white... Like
real style,
Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah.
On the sides, temples. Yeah. But he also died, so now that's three people in the mafia.
So my next story: don't be in the mafia.
No, my next question is: how is Barry Ronger connected to the mafia?
I have no clue, but he was
because he's the
OG in terms of film critics in South Africa.
Listen, right? That man. I remember it was a Sunday, no? What was the name of that show? Because he had more than one show.
I can't remember the name of his show, but he...
There was a show called Screenplay or something?
Yes, the one that came on SABC 3. And he
then
also
there was an Mnet show as well.
I don't know. I don't remember his Mnet show.
Yeah, there was like the he had an Mnet show. He had a column.
Yeah, he had a number of columns. The thing for me about Barry, and I mean, he died now at 74 years old, but he was honestly... If I wanted to know whether I want to go see a movie or not, I used to go read his reviews.
Yeah, 100%. Well, I didn't read, so I used to just watch his show. But he always used to use like alliteration when it comes to a like a rating.
Yeah.
So he used to call it like a failing four or you know.
No connection to your other story about alliteration.
No. I in the article here is a Titanic 10.
Oh.
That was like the top rating you could get. Oh, Cinemagic with Barry Ronger. That was the Mnet one. And then SABC 3 was called Screenplay.
That's the one that I grew up on.
But he's done all sorts of shit. He was a food critic. He
lecturer.
Was, yeah.
Did you see the food critic under the pseudonym?
Yes, it was a pseudonym. It was a female pseudonym. Yeah. So you could go eat in the Scalamta and then review it afterwards. But yo, you're right. Like I used to watch that show and be like, yo, okay, if Barry says it's cool. Then,
it's cool.
Yeah.
I really believed him. Completely with these film reviews. And I'm looking at the pictures now. It's like he never seemed to lose that glint in his eye. He always had that glint of just enjoying what he's doing.
Yeah. Shame. But it's quite sweetly. He died peacefully in the arms of his life partner, Albertus van Dyk. So
yeah.
I think that was a fitting send-off for one of the biggest voices in South African cinema.
And when you and I started doing this, people were like, making
yes, that, yeah. You know, I got called Barry Ronger at work already because of the way I talk about films.
Nah, but I mean, I feel like we've got quite a ways to go to even get close to the legend of this man. He honestly was amazing. He was the gold standard for film critique in South Africa. I don't think anyone right now holds a candle to him. That's
no, TV. No ways. There's no one I follow. I mean, I am kind of out of the scene in terms of because of the internet.
Yeah.
The internet has killed that because you can quickly Google like a review and whatever. Yeah.
But I mean, there's no South African film critics on any medium really.
No.
Are definitive.
That could be us.
Could be. Filling that void.
But you're playing.
True that.
So RIP Barry Ronger. And that's it for this segment of Who's Dead? Captain America 4.
Yeah,
it's got its director.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know it was 100% greenlit. I know they
said in
the series that
they returning. What are you talking about? Of course it was greenlit, Jody. Come on.
No, but it's... No. I don't know. That series was a bit forgetful for me.
You are cack, man. You just... You're racist. That's why you don't like a black cap.
That is so... No.
No, that's not true. No. He's not. I'm just joking. But I am talking about the Marvel fan base in general. Yes. Especially in the States.
Because
they had to...
issues.
No, but even so, they had to put out a statement. There was an article they're saying that Sam will not be the Falcon. He will be Captain America.
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah.
That's kind of obvious.
The show
he
was
got
for.
The shield.
Like, but you know, these people. Anyway, so it's a Nigerian-American director.
Julius Ohno.
Yeah. Who, what has he done, Jody?
He's done The Cloverfield Paradox, was the biggest film that
he did. Cloverfield.
Did he do Cloverfield?
Yes.
I thought it was Paradox.
No, he did both.
No, man, J.J. Abrams did Cloverfield.
Look,
Well, I mean, Cloverfield Paradox and Luce, which is based on the play.
Apologies.
So that isn't the quiet Cloverfield.
No, that's the
cuck Cloverfield.
I misread it.
Yeah. But this is kind of true to Marvel's
That's one of the
show
on Cloverfield. Yeah.
The one that they just, it was a different thing and
they did it twice.
Yeah, with Cloverfield.
10 Cloverfield Lane, but that's a bit of film.
Yeah, that's the best in the series, I would say.
No, Cloverfield. If you're looking at the Cloverfield lore,
okay, yeah,
Cloverfield's the best film.
But in terms of the best movie,
best shoehorn,
best shoehorn. So you're right. The Netflix one was also a completely different script that just became a Cloverfield film.
Yes, that's true.
Just get the kinks out, because she's got a twinkle in her eye now after that.
But I haven't seen any of his other stuff. I didn't see Luce or Luce. I don't know how you pronounce. I didn't watch Don't Look Back. Or The Girl Is in Trouble.
Yeah, but like I was saying now, man, this is true to what Marvel typically does, where they go and find these indie directors or directors who haven't quite made it yet, and they mold them into what they, you know, you need to still fit within our parameters.
Yeah.
So I have some... I'm excited that they're giving new directors opportunities, but I also half wonder if that doesn't give Marvel too much power in these relationships in terms of the storytelling and kind of stifling visions, because who of these new directors have really been able to come in and do different things?
Taika Waititi? Who else? Oh, but Sam Raimi is a big name.
Yeah, Sam Raimi is quite big. I was thinking...
But I think maybe that's the direction they're sort of taking it into. I mean, they see the success in critically. Although Thor, Love and Thunder is not... But that's like fans more than anything,
yes.
I think. It's just like shitting on it.
Yeah. But I mean, we'll get into that.
Yeah.
We can't get into it now. But I just feel like sometimes with these directors who are up and coming, it's easier to imprint your Marvel vision on it. I feel like Ryan Coogler kind of pushed back a bit, but he already had a more established name than some of these other young directors.
But it's fine. You know, we flip and see. I'm just glad they got a black director to tell, you know, a black cap story, which is dope. It's with Marvel now, it's a wait and see thing. It's whatever. They release the movie, I take them as they come, and if I enjoy it, I enjoy it. If I don't, I don't. There's no skin off my back.
That's the way to do it. Honestly,
yeah,
people's
it's for your own mental health. Like, yo, you need a fucking hobby, my bro. Start start doing something else. Start painting or drawing or some cuck. Stop.
Yeah, you don't have to comment on every
obsessed. Fucking thing. I can't anymore. But cool. We'll see, no?
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Let's cross our fingers. Bong Joon-ho.
He is an exciting director.
He is a
director of Parasite.
Now it's
Oscar
like
winning
everything. Everything he does, you sort of keep an eye out for.
Yeah, now there's expectations.
Oh, yeah.
Like there's Western expectations.
But his previous movies are also great.
Now it's Western expectations. Yeah. He's already been big.
But it's cool. He's got a new sci-fi stuff coming out with Robert Pattinson in the lead. And what's his name?
Stephen Yeun just joined.
He's joined, but look at the cast there. Naomi Adler, Mark Ruffalo, and Tony Collette.
Yeah, and the concept, I actually want to read this novel, Mickey 7, is what it's based on. About, so they say it's a mixture of The Martian and what's the other movie? Dark Matters.
Oh.
But it's about a clone who's trying to colonize a planet, but each time you die, you get remade, but all your memories come back again.
That's fucking hectic.
And this time, Mickey 7, he doesn't actually die, but they create a new one in any case. And then it's like...
Oh, they have the same memories.
Yeah. So it's a really interesting concept.
That is.
And it's a Warner Brothers film as well. So I think the idea being that this guy is kind of going to step into that void that Christopher Nolan left with Warner Brothers.
Maybe, eh?
Because he just pucked because he was got cut for.
That's actually a good point. I didn't think of that. Because, yeah, that is... Where did he go?
Where did he end up with with Tenet? Was it Universal?
Ah, fucking don't know.
Can't even remember. We'll see. But he was very publicly split.
Yeah, he's like, fuck this. My stuff is for cinema only. How dare you.
But I'm very excited for this film. I mean, the sci-fi elements of it, whatever Bong Joon-ho is going to bring to it, I'm really keen to see what he does. Because this is, you know, they're going to throw money at us now.
Yeah, yeah.
Oscar-winning director. It's bringing up stuff with like representation now because he's a director from Asia, so they're gonna chuck cash at this brand.
Yeah, definitely. So we'll see. Yo, living up to the hype is always a thing. Yeah? It's like that thing where you in primary school you're so smart and you perform well, and then you get to high school. And
when you get a diploma, my bro. Yeah. Yo, you got a diploma in standard 3, then you go to standard 4.
I didn't get
4.
A diploma, I think.
You look like a diploma person.
No, I didn't get a diploma.
Strong diploma vibes.
Got to high school and then everything went to shit.
For me, it was post high school.
Yeah, well, that too. I mean, that trend just kept going.
Well, after downhill after primary school.
Primary school was my peak. But yeah, I hope he lives up to the hype and stuff.
I'll go and read that book and tell you.
You enjoy, you do that. Yeah. Okay, Minions, Rise of Gru. So this franchise in general, I'm not a huge fan of.
Yeah, I like Despicable Me.
Those first one,
are like decent. One and two were entertaining for me. Three was pushing it with a twin thing. And the Minions film, like...
It's bullshit.
I don't know how they decided on more.
Well, money, Jody, money. Money is why they decided.
A shitload of money, apparently.
And this franchise is worth a lot. I mean, $4 billion. You have, like, grandmothers on Facebook just sharing Minion memes that's keeping this franchise afloat, I feel.
It is insane.
But there's... So $4 billion in total
that,
now.
That is the Despicable Me franchise.
So okay.
Despicable Me films plus the Minion films. Steve Carell is rich as fuck, probably.
Yeah, I mean, he must have. I mean, imagine he, like, took a back-end deal or something.
If he did was
that. Is his voice in the new one?
Yes. He's voicing Gru in this new film.
Yes.
So I'm assuming he must be, like, because, you know, the more you do, the more you get with those offers, especially with those back-end deals.
Yeah.
The sequels give you a lot more. He must be... fucking set for many lives at this point.
That's incredible. But okay, but Despicable Me, I don't have a big inclination to see this film.
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah, because I don't think I'm the target. Like, especially with like Illumination in general. Their animation, or I would say, well, the animation is not as good as Pixar.
Yeah, not as mature storylines.
I was going to say the quality of their stories are not as great as well. Like it's pretty. Minions was a shit show because you didn't have something to sort of
that anchors
the meat and bones. Yeah, there was no meat and bones, so it's like
it's really just Laurel and Hardy.
Yeah,
like,
that's
the old.
So I was like, okay, when I saw they were making another one, I was like, fair, you want money, it's fine. But this one is doing really well.
It's doing insanely well.
And what is adding to that, Jody?
The gentle minions craze. Russ, you know you my resident TikTok expert in life. What the fuck is the gentle minions craze?
These fucking Gen Zs are nuts, bro. So, I mean, I love them. I love Gen Zs. Just because of how fucking crazy they are. Anyway.
And how their craziness determines, like,
it can sway things. Like it's got clout. So the gentle minions is just like you, for instance, and a group, preferably a large group of male friends, dress in formal wear and film yourselves going to go watch. What's it called? Minions: The Rise of Gru. Together. And like not only filming it, but at the end of it, like fully on applauding the film and the just the snowball effect of people just. embracing the meme and saying, oh, this is going to be the greatest cinematic achievement of our generation.
And everyone just buys into it.
100%.
When you were at the movies, did you see
people? I didn't see.
There were a few at our cinema who were going to see that film, and full on black suit, white shirt, tie. It was full on, bro.
And this has actually contributed to the box office of this film.
Yeah, because it's all young males, right?
Dude, there was one person who booked out the entire fucking cinema.
Why?
To watch this film with his friends.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
How much does it cost?
I don't know. It's just in America, so like probably like $5,000 or something. But like this is part of why the movie is. I mean, these movies generally do well.
Yeah.
But you can't tell me this hasn't made somewhat of an impact.
No, dude. And like we said, they're making khat.
Yeah.
But the long-term impact of these jokes is money.
Morbius.
Well, Morbius bombed again.
Yeah. Because you did it. You see.
Double bomb.
That's the thing. So you can, it can be meme culture, but your movie must be good enough at least.
To actually sustain and get people in there.
So that is quite interesting to see. I'm not really interested in this film, but the gentle minion meme just really intrigued me, and it to be like, wow, it was quite interesting to see the impact that it made.
It was weird for me to see it in person.
Yeah.
Fuck, you know, these actual people doing this shit.
Embracing the meme. If I had a suit that could fit, I would probably do it and do it too.
Same.
Sec, it's time for a review.
Okay, we're going to do things a little differently this week. Instead of us talking about one film, as we usually do, we're going to talk about a couple.
And put a hell of a lot of time pressure on ourselves get to that.
Yeah, because you know, Jody likes a good waffle. So, we're going to try and keep time because Abby's in the loo.
Yeah.
Oh, she producer, Abby? Are you going to keep time? We're going to start the four reviews.
Every third.
That's not convincing.
Every third drop. Okay, so the four films we're going to do. We'll start with Hustle. We'll do Spider-Aid. We'll do The Princess. And then we'll end off with Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Cool. Are you telling me?
I'm telling you.
Oh, okay.
What are we doing again? Prepare yourself mentally.
Never.
Are we a go for time?
Yeah,
we're 1, 2, 3, go. Rightio. First one, Hustle, starring Adam Sandler, Queen Latifah, and that guy that actually can play basketball, Juancho Hernan Gomez.
Hey, Sandler can play basketball.
Who?
Adam Sandler.
Yeah, but this guy's a professional basketball
player. Yeah, I know, but like...
The Sandman just does, like, pickup games.
Yeah, randomly, eh? In New York. Yeah. So that in the film, that actually made sense that he would go look for a
game. Go and look for that, So this movie is about, after a down-on-his-luck basketball scout discovers an extraordinary player abroad, he brings the phenom back without his team's approval.
Ooh.
Succinct.
No, but I must say, this was one of the good ones from Adam Sandler.
It really was. Yeah. And I remember you asked me whether I was excited about this film, and I told you, I really don't know. Because I felt like...
That was after seeing the trailer.
The trailer, yes. Mm. And I was thinking that when Adam Sandler does sports stuff, if he's playing, then it's fun, but also it can get to like grown-ups territory, you know?
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure which way
it's funny because grown-ups is so juvenile.
It's so
but it's called juvenile grown-ups.
Yeah, and just gets worse and worse. But this film, like you said, it was a really fun time.
It was. Like, for a drama.
For a drama. I really got a sense that in this movie, there was more of a balance of the stuff that we want to see from Sandler, which is serious, you know, show your talent stuff, but also him getting to enjoy himself.
No, I understand.
Because he's hanging out with basketball players.
Yeah,
with professionals.
And he loves that. He loves talking
to... That's his vibe.
Yeah, and there's so many famous cameos in here. And I think Queen Latifah really shines as his wife. She plays his wife.
Yeah.
She's amazing. She's also a legend. She's an African-American all-star.
But also just, it's a lot more of a believable relationship that they have as
a
wife compared with
They must be friends,
stuff.
Eh?
Yeah, I mean,
they have good chemistry.
They really had great chemistry.
Yeah.
Even his relationship with his daughter, I can't even remember what that actress's name was, but the relationship with the daughter was an interesting thing. The whole family dynamic.
Yeah.
And now that connects to what pushes him along as well.
Yeah, because the basketball player also has his own family issues. And stuff, so they relate in that sense.
Jordan Hull, the girl that played his daughter, I think she was great as well. But like you said, the guy, Bo Cruz, his, like, that whole situation with his family. I just felt like they had lots of good things driving the main character's stories in this film.
No, definitely, I agree. And it's nice to see him not make shit.
Really?
Yeah,
like,
no,
it's a simple thing to say, but...
But, I mean, like, after Uncut Gems, you know, you have the hope, and then what came out after Uncut Gems? That cuck.
Yeah, he really just goes from extremes. And it's not quite as intense and serious as Uncut Gems or Punch Drunk Love, those types of films. But it's better than most of his other shit. You know, it's like, well, you can see he's
Happy
really...
Happy Gilmore is a classic.
No, but this is him pushing himself as an actor. Like, Happy Gilmore and stuff was him outright having fun. Like, the early Sandler was him having fun and it was hilarious. Then he started doing stuff that was just him having fun but not really funny. And then he showed us he can do serious stuff too, which we love. But this is more in between. This is him having a lot of fun and pushing himself as an actor. Because he doesn't play any basketball in this
film. I know, but is he pushing himself?
I think he is in this film.
I don't think so. I think he's pulling back. So if he, because he's in this movie, he's still Adam Sandler. I mean, okay, he's schlubby, he's dangerous, he's got the jokes a little bit and whatever. So, but I think he's showing restraint.
Okay.
And it really works, especially for this film.
I get you. That makes sense. You can see the restraint in the, he doesn't go into like toilet humor at any point.
At any point. All the jokes he doesn't are kind like, he doesn't really, he doesn't shout for no reason.
He doesn't do that once.
No, he does shout, but he's angry. Yeah, for no reason. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to say this film is quiet.
Yeah, 100% agree with you.
Oh, wait.
This was quiet. This was a fun Sunday movie.
Oh, wait. A fun day movie. You can catch it on Netflix now. Mm-hmm. Brought to you by Netflix. No, this isn't brought to you by Netflix. So we didn't get any money from Netflix.
We asked. Spider-Head, starring Chris Hemsworth and Miles Teller, directed by the guy from Top Gun. What's that uncle's name now again?
Macquarie.
Joseph Kosinski.
Oh, no. Whoops.
Yeah. This is the film that he made before Top Gun Maverick.
Ah.
But it was held back. So this was filmed right at the start of COVID.
Okay.
So this...
Can you tell in the film?
Yes, I'll tell you how.
Okay, I haven't seen this film, if you're not aware of that. Yes. Jody's seen this one. As you can tell.
So this movie is about two inmates who form a connection while grappling with their past in a state-of-the-art penitentiary run by a brilliant visionary who experiments on his subjects with mind-altering drugs.
Ooh.
Super interesting concept. So, so as it says, Chris Hemsworth plays the character of this visionary.
Yeah.
So he essentially is like the head of a prison, but it's like no prison you've seen before.
Mm.
So everyone there kind of, you can move around like you want. They pay prisoners up.
Mm.
You have a lot of freedom within the facility to do whatever.
Yeah.
But the fine details or what's the fine print on this is that you need to participate in experiments.
In the trial, okay.
Yes, so it's various trials for various drugs that they want to see what the long-term effects are so that they can go into production. Some of them are amazing.
I won't be surprised if this is actually going on right now.
Exactly. Yeah. It feels like a Black Mirror episode made into a full-length film.
Yeah.
So the drugs are like, there's various things. Some of them make you like, focus intensely on something. Other drugs make you have intense nightmares and shit. There's varying effects, and they also need to test it on various people and see what it does. So Miles Teller is our protagonist. He's the one who's he's been in prison. We don't quite know why he's there. Like, that's also part of the whole reveal thing. And the person that he has a connection with is Journey Smollett, the actor. She was in Smollett. I thought it's...
Just because it's E.T. doesn't mean it's French.
It's French.
Yeah.
She was in that HBO series, Lovecraft County.
Yes, okay. I know what you're talking about.
So the two of them are like the ones who form a relationship and a connection, but both being prisoners there.
Yeah.
And we just see the impact that they have with various like experiments. It's quite funny in the beginning because you don't know what they are testing.
Yeah.
It's just that.
So you're keen to see the effects of each drug that comes out.
Yes. But the way that you then figure out with the COVID stuff is that there are very few people on screen at any given time.
Yes.
So whenever there's like any shot would have maximum 3 or 4 people in it. They don't have like, you know, big group scenes or anything like that because the COVID restrictions are so intense.
Yeah.
So that's why it's very like focused on these few characters and their interactions with each other all the time.
Mm.
Which is quite a throwback.
So, you know how you feel about Netflix films?
Mm. Yes.
How did you feel about it? Have you got focalist this Sunday? This whole weekend, actually. And the thing is,
I think they're on TikTok doing no timing whatsoever.
We went out on Thursday night.
And she's still in Okay, your social battery is pop juice.
But your social battery is bigger than mine.
She's the social one.
Yeah, she is. It's funny, you know. Yeah, manita.
And she's just giving her back to me.
Load shedding. Shame. Stopping the recharge.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Netflix films. And what did you think about this one in general? Like,
in general, much better than some of the other action-orientated fare that Netflix puts out. There's still some...
Wait, so there is like action in this
one? There is some action-related scenes in here. When they show us, when we eventually find out the incident that brought Miles Teller to jail.
Yeah.
The effects related to that were really wonky. Like, quite uncanny valley shit that was going on there. So there's still issues with me on that. But story-wise...
But that's like budget dependent.
Yeah.
Budget and time.
It's very much those things. But story-wise, it's great. Chris Hemsworth doing the... He's our antagonist, actually, even though he comes across as this really charming, smooth, like almost like billionaire tech type guy. Yeah. He does really well as an antagonist in this film. Him and Miles Teller as our two main guys, they are really great. So I enjoyed it. It was a lot more fun than I thought it would be.
So you say this is quiet?
Definitely a quiet film.
Okay. And I should watch it when?
Yeah, don't rush. There's other stuff you
need
to watch.
Yeah, when I don't have anything or can't find anything, okay, I'll put this on.
Yeah. This is your one, The Princess.
Yeah, but you must read this.
Oh, thing. I still have to do that.
Yeah, motherfucker, that's your thing. One job.
I didn't watch this one, Abigail.
It doesn't matter. You can still read the synopsis. Yeah.
So when a strong-willed princess refuses to wed a cruel sociopath, she is kidnapped and locked in a remote tower with a scorned, vindictive suitor intent on taking her father's throne. The princess must protect her family and save the kingdom.
Oh, where?
So this stars Joey King as the princess, Dominic Cooper as Julius, Olga Kurylenko as Moira, and Ngotan Van as Lynn.
Mm.
Directed by Levan Kiet. Mm. I don't know if I'm saying that. Levan Kiet. No idea if I'm saying that.
Close enough. Yeah, so Joey King, she's in those terrible Kissing Booth movies.
Oh. Yeah. There were like three of those.
Yeah, there's three. But this one, this is on Disney Plus, by the way.
Not Netflix.
Not Netflix. This one was unexpectedly so much fun. You start off, you straight into it. She's on the bed and whatever, and she's tied up and shit, and then guards enter and she must now roll them, and it's like The Princess Bride or something meets The Raid.
Yeah. That's the vibe that I was getting. Because
she kicks so much fucking ass in this film. It's amazing. This story is fine.
But it doesn't serve much of a purpose other than that.
It's cool. Like, everyone is there. They understand what kind of movie they're in. It's a weird fantasy action mashup. And she is honestly the standout. Joey King is 100% believable.
So she's pulling off most of the...
It really looks like it. Like, she's... There's one scene that is sort of old boy-esque where she fights like a fucking...
Like a passage.
100. Yeah, but she's in the stage. This tower is the tallest tower on the planet because she starts off right at the top.
Yeah.
And she has to make her way down. And there's this old boy-esque scene where she fights like a moose. And you can see her getting physically tired.
Yeah.
Which is like almost like one-shot vibes, and she's like trying to fend them off, and she's just exhausted. It was so much fun to watch. 100%.
You know, it makes it believable when you see your protagonist.
It's filmed in a kung fu, Hong Kong action type style, especially when they switch to the fight choreography and stuff. But yo, it's an hour and a half, one of your favorite times.
Ooh, love it.
Yeah? 1 hour.
And I see that this director is Vietnamese born, who's done a lot of martial arts driven things. So yeah, you say you feel that in
you
this
feel
film.
It. Like it switched. Like they'll go to dialogue or whatever, and then she comes across or she's moving down the staircase and she comes across like a henchman or whatever. And then the camera switches to like this dynamic movement in between, and then they do the choreography and you can see faces, you can see everyone.
I was about to ask you, because the cheat that they often use, with, especially, and this is more Western directors who do this, where they do those quick cuts and very choppy edits to like mask that the people can't actually fight.
You can see everything. It's really good. I mean, the story also, like, the king himself, he's sort of like not a pacifist, but he's like, all is welcome in my kingdom. And that's one of the cool things, because the villain, Dominic
Cooper.
He wants to marry because he obviously wants to take over the kingdom. And he makes a comment about, you bring all these people, you let anyone come to your kingdom. And there's that racial undertone.
It's almost like a thing, because you know the... like across Europe and even in the US, immigrants and stuff.
So there is that, and his kingdom is like super diverse.
Uh-huh. And because he lets people eat.
Exactly. She learns to fight from one of his advisor students, and they are Asian. So she learns like kung fu and stuff as a princess. Her name is never mentioned. She's just referred to as the princess.
Which is that's like a old school action thing where you have like, you know.
Or like Tenet.
Yeah, the protagonist.
Yeah, but I mean, but you love saying that.
I wasn't gonna. You brought it.
I just put you on the spot. Yeah, Jody love. Oh my God, can you get off Christopher Nolan's dick?
I literally did not say it last
time. You would.
I did not say
the immense talent in that penis. I'm just fucking with you.
I feel like it would be tiny but long, like thin but long. If I had to guess.
Well, kind of like his movies.
Yeah. Thin on plot.
Thin on character development.
thin on emotion.
Yeah, thin on emotion and long and scale.
Anyway, who does Olga Kurylenko play? Who's
so she is like the second in command to the main villain, Dominic. And she has a whip. She's a whip lady. Yeah, the whip's got a blade, a retractable blade on it. So she's just like... She's mull as a night, as Abby says.
Direct quote.
No, but it's actually dope. Like, I miss some of that, you know? Those cheesy fucking, this character.
Like what Kingsman does, you know?
Yeah, this character has this one thing that they build their whole personality around, and she is Whip Woman, but she's super scary.
And, I mean, recently Olga Kurylenko was in Black Widow, and
she looks amazing. She was a Bond girl.
Yeah, I was going to say, she can pull off action roles.
No,
really
100%,
well. But I felt like in Black Widow, they wasted her.
Oh, yeah, they did waste her. But there's it's a lot of blood. It's way more blood than I expected. Yeah, blood and guts and all sorts of
visceral gore.
Yeah, lovely violence if you like that sort of thing. So I'm gonna say this movie is kawaii.
We're just getting kawaii today.
No, it is a kawaii. So it was an unexpected thing. Put this on a Friday action night.
Oh, another sponsorship does not work.
Only on Disney Plus. Yeah, no. I'll put this on a Friday action night. A lot of fun.
Awesome. So lastly, Everything Everywhere All At Once.
Everything Everywhere All At Once.
You and I have been going back and forth on whether we wanted to review this, right?
Yeah, like a full review.
Yeah. In any case, before we go any further.
Yeah.
When an interdimensional rupture unravels reality, an unlikely hero must channel her newfound powers to fight bizarre and bewildering dangers from the multiverse as the fate of the world hangs in the balance. Starring Michelle Yeoh, Stephanie Hsu, Wee Kwan, Jamie Lee Curtis, James Hong, Jenny Slate, a few other people. And directed by the Daniels. Apparently that's how they...
No, they're just Daniels.
Daniels. Sorry. So it's Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert.
Abby just went to the loo and I just started spraying air freshener. She's like, that's rude.
I had a friend who worked at the bank and they had those auto air things. And he said sometimes people would come in there and they smelled so bad that that thing would just go on. Yeah. Yo. Okay.
Yeah, directed by Daniels.
Yes, Daniels.
They previously did Swiss Army Man,
which I still haven't seen. But
yo, well, Swiss Army Man is amazing. Yeah. It's, if you ever want to see Harry Potter just be a corpse, it's ridiculous and funny and heartwarming, and that after seeing Everywhere All at Once, it's almost like that is their brand.
Yeah.
Because Everything Everywhere All at Once is ridiculous and funny and heartwarming and sad and everything everywhere all at once.
When you told me about the film, do you struggle to actually tell me what the movie is about?
Yeah.
Because it's hard to talk about it and not give things away.
Yeah, you can't.
And your line to me was, it's about a mother's love for her family and her daughter.
Yeah.
And that was perfect in hindsight. Because this movie is so hard to actually define to anyone. Mm. To talk about what happens.
So that's it. That's our review. Cheers, guys.
That's quiet.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah, you're right. I mean, you can't. I struggle to tell people who haven't seen it like exactly what it's about. But I just tell them, just watch it.
Yes. And it's polarizing. I actually have spoken to a couple of people who just don't get it.
Abby didn't like it. She fell asleep. Yeah. And she still has to watch it again and give it a fair shot.
Have you watched it more than once?
No, I'm waiting for her to watch it a second time.
I'm a little scared to watch it again because of how powerful the impact on me was the first time.
Yeah.
Like, to me, a film ultimately is about how it makes me feel. You know, did I love it or did I not like it, whatever. But what type of impact does it have on me without me needing to think about it too much?
Yeah.
And this movie, more than any other film this year, had a massive impact on me.
100%.
Like, huge.
So, Michelle Yeoh is the main character. They have a laundromat, and she has a timid husband. Yes. And it's the first appearance of, what's his name?
Kay Wee Kwan.
Yeah, and the last movie he was in, or the last Western film that he was in, was Indiana Jones.
Was it not Goonies? Was Goonies before Indiana Jones?
Yes.
He was also in... So it was Goonies, Indiana Jones. He played shortstop.
Yeah. And Short Round, sorry. Shortstop is...
Baseball. Yeah. But he played Short Round.
He played Short Round. And a lot of people actually wanted, when they heard they were doing Indiana Jones sequels, they wanted a Short Round story.
Yeah.
And to bring him back. He was amazing. Yeah, he had the gadgets and all that shit. So this is his first role. And I implore you to actually watch the film and then watch the interviews around the film.
Yeah. Because it's fascinating about what happened to his
literally, character. Michelle Yeoh talking about her getting this role and receiving the script and reading the script and being like, finally, she gets to show her full range of capability. Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw this, but the movie was, they wrote it with Jackie Chan.
They did, yeah, I saw that.
I think it was perfect that it ended up with Michelle 100%. Yeoh, honestly. I mean, 100%. Not to say Jackie Chan couldn't have pulled off like certain stuff here, but...
No, I will say that.
In terms of the actual storyline...
You wouldn't have been able to
I don't think it was suited to him.
No ways. She has a timid husband and she has a daughter who is a lesbian, but she's like struggling to accept that.
Yes.
Because of her grandfather, her father and the daughter's grandfather, who is also living, visiting? Was he visiting?
He's coming to live with him.
Coming to live with him. And then that, you know, family responsibility, being like, no, they're from a different time. They won't accept.
And conservative lifestyle.
Exactly. Her feeling trapped in a day-to-day, every day, you know? Yeah.
And I'd add unfulfilled.
Yeah.
So there's a something big missing. Aspect of, you know, your life is there's so much that you haven't done.
Yeah.
For both her and seemingly her family, like her daughter, her husband, everyone has the sense of unfulfillment of just not really being happy.
Yeah.
And her and her husband are actually at the point of getting divorced.
Yep. Like he's got the divorce papers ready.
Yes. They the papers
spoiler.
Have been...
Is that a spoiler?
I mean, we're not even dealing with spoilers.
Yeah, fucking hell. But then she's introduced to the multiverse. And this the world that she lives in is one of many. And there's an alternate version of her in this fucking other realities. And they have all gone on different paths.
Yeah.
So one is a celebrity. The other one is a fucking... What? Yo, there's so many.
I mean, the basic concept, and this is where somebody brought up one of the issues with the film, is that... And this is a common idea of how multiverses come about, is that each time you make a choice, that different paths diverge from that point. It's like, yes or no, you could have done one or the other. now you have two.
Who's this person you're talking about?
Charlton. the person who's trying to find us a venue.
Oh, yeah, Charlton. Come on, Charlton. Give it another go.
The science of this film really irritated him because he felt like that, like having that type of choice be the genesis of an entire universe, to him just doesn't work.
So the sliding doors thing.
Yeah, he can't accept that. And
why?
To him, that just what he's saying.
Charlton, it sounds like you're not happy with this universe that you're
in.
Just think about,
where you're
think about the choices that you've made, you know, and there is a universe where you're happy with, you know, this movie. But it makes fun. You know what I loved about it is the way they introduce it and gradually just bringing you into the point where you will accept all the ridiculousness
and
of it.
And this is where I think that they have outdone Marvel completely. With regard to the...
I don't mind being over time with this film.
Yeah, we gave ourselves time for this one, girl.
Yeah, girl.
Girl. You didn't give that. We are at 50 minutes.
He spoke 4 minutes. Ooh! I win.
Okay.
So I gave us time.
I didn't spray air freshener on you.
She takes her job very seriously.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Where they beat Marvel for me is that...
But it's not a competition.
It's not, but Marvel's also doing multiverse stuff.
Yeah, but they're doing multiverse stuff for the general public.
Yes.
This is a multiversal movie made by Daniels, and it's a totally different thing.
Exactly. And what they've done is, all within the space of one film, introduced a concept, made it workable for their film.
Yeah.
They've got a logic that they use, an internal logic that is consistent throughout. And you for me, I end up accepting whatever they give because I'm happy with what's been given to me already, the explanation that's been given. So I don't get taken out of the movie at all, which to me is important because this is a movie that I'm experiencing. It's
no,
not
definitely.
Like, they, you're not just watching
is,
and like
it is very them. Skillfully done because you can tell if you watch like interviews with the two of them, they got tatty ideas.
Yeah, I don't know how they storyboarded this.
No, it's fucking
honestly, I have no idea how they put down the ideas and then went and did the movie.
And everyone is really, really good. How did they get, what's her name?
Jamie Lee Curtis.
To do this. It was amazing. She plays this government worker. She
like
works
SARS,
for the IRS.
Yeah, like a SARS
and
person.
She's like, she's like lumpy and old and fucking jaded. And she doesn't really want to help the family at all. And her character just carries through all the universes. There's one universe where they have sausage fingers.
Yeah.
Everyone just has
sausage
fingers.
That's the one that everyone, you would have seen like the memes and stuff are very focused on that. But I mean, honestly, all of the worlds are interesting.
They really
are. All the worlds that they present to us are interesting.
Yeah. And I love the mechanism of how they access different skills from the different universes.
Brilliant.
So
brilliant.
You have to do. There's one that involves anuses. You're gonna love that
scene. You have to put something up.
God, funny. And I think Michelle Yeoh is amazing.
Yeah.
The guy who plays Waymond, I can't remember his name.
Kei Hui Kwan.
He is amazing.
Yeah. Stephanie Su, the daughter.
Yeah. Jojo Dopaki.
Joy Wang.
Yeah, Joy Wang.
Yeah.
What is the villain?
Oh, I can't even remember what
the villain. Jojo Dopaki.
Yeah.
She is so she's in Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. She's so good in that.
I still haven't seen that trailer.
Well,
yeah.
Is.
Okay.
It's on Disney Plus.
I will watch it.
No, is it on Disney Plus?
I hope it is.
Amazon. Anyway, she is so good. I mean, everyone just showed up. And I think it is because of the emotional core at the center of the story.
Yeah. And I think that's why I say to me, this is a movie must experience. Because if you connect on it emotionally,
oh yeah,
this is going to hit you. Like, for me, this is my favorite movie of this year.
So far, yeah, me too.
So far.
So, right? Me too as well.
Like, Top Gun was a different type of experience.
Top Gun.
But this was, in terms of connection and my emotions.
You know what will be the true test for Top Gun? Is watching it at home.
Yes.
That'll be the truth.
Yeah, because this we didn't see at the cinema.
No, we didn't see at the cinema.
Dude, I was an emotional wreck by the time this movie was
done. That's true. I shed a few tears.
Yeah.
So
you guys were overrun by the reviews and stuff, and so it tainted your perception, so you naturally watched the movie thinking it was going to be amazing.
I didn't read that many.
I mean, you didn't even watch it, so don't say it wasn't that good.
The part I watched was me.
Okay.
She
but,
watched
but
the first
it's interesting that she says that because I would think that like with a strong female protagonist that women might also want to like connect to it a bit more. But Jenna was also like she enjoyed it but it wasn't that great for her.
And I watch the movie. But then there's people that I chatted to, like, at work and, like, outside of Bicycle Brass's space, for example.
Oh.
You know? And they also were, like, they went to the movies to watch it, and they were just like, they weren't feeling the vibe.
Well, they were wrong, so.
They were.
Yeah.
Almost like you.
No. It's a joke. Yo, my bro, relax. I'm just joking. No, it's fair enough. I mean, it's not going to... Look, that being said, it's not going to be for everybody.
Yeah, it's clearly not. But to me...
Charlton.
Yeah,
Charlton. It's Abby. Not for everyone. But for us, I think I really love this film.
Yeah. I haven't felt this emotionally impacted by a movie in a very long time.
No, I have. But I mean, this one was it was like I've never seen anything like this before.
Yeah. Dude, I spent a good half hour after this movie just standing very quietly by myself and thinking about what I just experienced.
The fuck is wrong
with
that?
Yeah, I had to internalize.
No, I can't do that.
Self-therapy. Because, that was what was happening.
My ADHD doesn't allow me to do this.
That's the whole song. Anyway, this is my quietest of quiets for this year.
Oh, yeah. Quiet so far. Yeah, this is the quietest movie for me so far. And I really would love for you guys to see it. And just tell us, let us know what you think.
100%.
Jody,
do we
have
shout
any
shout this week?
Can I ask the fucking question? Jody, do we have any shout outs this week?
Yes, we actually have a new fan, Noisy M, on the read out a message to us.
Okay.
You guys are killing it with the show. Perfect combination of insight, tomfoolery, and iconic chemistry. Found your show while I was homesick in the mad USA, and you reminded me why SA humans are just irreplaceable in my heart. Thank you for keeping me company in the load-shedding woes. You're doing an amazing job, and hope to see you do a live show in future.
Cool.
Thank you, Noisy.
Noisy, thank you so much. And lucky for you, we are planning a live show.
Yeah.
I hope you're in Cape Town. No, she won't be.
But she's saying that she's experiencing load shedding, so she should be in South Africa somewhere.
She said US.
Huh? She said in the US, and then she said load shedding. So I'm like,
oh,
she
discovered us in the US. Yeah.
Anyway, Noisy, let us know if you're in South Africa, and then stick it when we do a live show.
Oh,
man,
thank you so much, and we appreciate the support, and I'm glad that, you know, even if it's just one person that really enjoys what we do, that's always nice to hear.
At least one.
Yeah, Abby doesn't. Cool.
She's too close, man.
Cool. So yeah, Jody?
Ross?
If someone wanted to find us, how can they do that?
They can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, Bicycle Brasso Podcast. They can email us, bicyclebrasso@gmail.com. And yeah, those are the best places to get hold of us.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, everyone. Sorry, I just took a bite.
He's hungry.
Save everyone. Save Jody.
Save Ross.